Shalom. Shalom. Good morning. Shalom. Peace. Hey, hello. Well, good morning to you all. My name is Manasseh, and it is an honor and a privilege to be in your house of worship with you this morning. Now, you may have already guessed, but I am a shepherd by trade. Well, at least I used to be. I'm much too old for that now. Taking care of a flock is hard work. Tending to the sheep, making sure they're always fed, protecting them from wolves and bears, going after them when they get lost, which is always. It's just way too much work for me now. And to be honest, the pay wasn't all that great either. But there were great things about being a shepherd. Some of my closest friends are shepherds. When you spend day and night with someone and you fight side by side against wild animals with them, then you become pretty close. And then there were the stories. Man, shepherds love to tell stories. We would tell stories to pass the night as we watched the flocks. Now, like fishermen, some of the facts of those stories were, well, let's just say embellishment was part of the fun. So if you threw a rock at a wolf to scare it off, of course that would become, I fought off a pack of wolves with my bare hands. And so it was great fun to tell stories. Always a contest to see who could tell the greatest story. But one of my favorite stories, the story I like to tell the most, needs no embellishment. Every word of it is true. But more importantly, I like to tell this story because it is the story of the Lord's Messiah. God sending our deliverer who came and brought salvation to all. And it's a story that begins way long ago back on the hills of Bethlehem. Now, I was much younger back then. Matter of fact, I was the youngest of all the shepherds, and so I was learning still from the others. I'd been on the hills of Bethlehem for maybe, I don't know, 6 months or so. Now, Elias, he had been there for a long time. He was the oldest, and so they had paired me with him. And then there was Judah ben Osri. Now, Judah was a 25-year-old cynic. His brother had been arrested by Roman occupation soldiers and thrown into jail for some minor offense. And so whenever he could, Judah would meet with some religious zealots, and they would plan on how to give the Romans a hard time. His hero was the greatest king of Israel, King David. You know, King David had been a shepherd on these same hills a millennium before. And when he was a teenager, David had killed the giant Goliath with just a sling and a stone and defeated the Philistines. And so that's exactly what Judah wanted to do, except with the Romans. He would often say, if there was just a leader, a deliverer, someone who could come and drive these wretched Romans from our land. Now, I remember that night being much quieter than any I had ever experienced. The night sky was filled with bright stars, and we were talking softly. The sheep were bleating occasionally. Our voices were soothing them as they gathered closer together. The lambs are going to die soon, Judah said out of nowhere. The ewes will survive, but the lambs will be sacrificed. What's that? Said Elias. Now, Elias's hearing had deteriorated over the years. And so Judah spoke up a little louder. The ewes will be sheared soon, and they'll bear new lambs, but the lambs will be sacrificed. What? Said Elias. The lambs, said Judah, at the Passover in the temple, they will be sacrificed. Oh, the Passover, said Elias. On that holy day, one of our lambs will be sacrificed for each family. Judah just rolled his eyes. Passover, said Elias. I wish I could have been at that first Passover. Now, Jerusalem was just, and the temple was just 6 miles north of Bethlehem. And it was our job to supply the lambs for sacrifice. And Elias would usually talk more than he would listen because it was so hard for him to hear everyone else. And so Elias began to tell us a story that we were all too familiar with. It was a story that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Moses was our deliverer on that first Passover night when God's judgment fell on Egypt, he began. And as the death angel passed over, every firstborn of the Egyptian families died, but not of the Israeli families. The Israelites had sacrificed a lamb, and they had taken its blood and wiped it on the tops and on the sides of their doorways. That lamb became a substitute for their lives. And so when the death angel came and he saw the blood, he passed over that house, and God's judgment passed with it. The lambs are going to be sacrificed, Judah said. What's that? Said Elias. Judah didn't say anything. So I said, well, one thing I know for sure, I'm glad I'm not a lamb. Yeah, nobody laughed. They just gave me that, well, that's something the new guy would say, look. And so I pulled my cloak over my shoulders to guard from the whistling wind, and it grew silent once again. Every once in a while, we would look up just to make sure there were no thieves, no wolves. We were not going to lose any sheep due to carelessness. And then all of a sudden, there was an explosion of light, and its brilliance flooded the hillside. It was so bright, it was like a thousand suns, and its radiance blinded us. When we finally could see, we looked up, and there was a man standing with brilliant white clothes. We all began to tremble in fear because we knew this was the messenger of God. Do not be afraid, he declared in the ringing voice of a herald, for I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all people. For tonight in the town of David, the Son of David has been born to you. He is the deliverer, the Lord's Messiah. The Messiah, the deliverer, said Judah. He's finally come to set us free. The angel continued, good news, great joy. We could hardly take in all that he was saying. The town of David, a Messiah will be born. The angel continued, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What a strange sign. A baby lying in a manger? But we didn't have time to think about it. For in that moment, the angel rose up to full height and he opened up his arms. And as he did, the glory and the radiance that was upon him began to spread out and uncover rank after rank of angel. The heavenly host, the army of God himself, more and more, company after company, battalion after battalion began to fill the sky. And they shouted out in unison, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. The sound bounced off the hills and echoed through the valleys. Like the roll of thunder or the roar of a mighty waterfall, their announcement of praise and honor reverberated throughout. Glory to God in the highest. They continued together with one enormous voice of worship. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. The overwhelming resonance of their praise just blotted out everything else, and our fear gradually turned into praise and worship. The host of God continued. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, shalom, peace to all whom God has favored. Again and again, the waves of praise just rolled over those hills of Bethlehem until finally their voices began to fade. And it was only in the distance that we could hear the echo, glory, 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 until it dissipated into silence. The brilliant light, too, began to fade, like the last streaks of sunlight as it sits down on the horizon, painting the clouds red and pink in departing splendor. Elias was the first to speak. Praise the Lord, dear friends. We have witnessed what only the prophets could dream of. The host of the Lord's army, said Judah. Oh, something greater still, said Elias. I tried to speak, but all I could get out was, the angels. Elias continued, we had the chance to see the Lord's Messiah face to face. You heard the angel. He's yonder, here in Bethlehem. We must go find him. The angel had told us how. The city of David, a baby wrapped in the swaddling clothes of a newborn lying in a manger. A manger, repeated Elias with a thoughtful gaze. Now, you could find dozens of cattle troughs all in the farms outside of Bethlehem. But in Bethlehem, a manger with a baby in it, that would be unique. Now, Elias only knew of one such place that would have a manger. It was in a cave just on the outskirts of town. It was where the travelers would come and they would keep their animals overnight. And so that's where we would begin. That old man skipped down those hills at a pace that left me even breathless. He was ahead of us the whole way, running to the entrance of that cave behind the inn. When we finally caught up with him, there he was, standing at the entrance of the cave, and tears began to wash down his face. The Son of David, he said. The Messiah, our deliverer. We moved in closer and knelt down by that manger. An angel told us to come, I said. Millions and millions of angels. Elias, who was much more wise than I, looked to the mother and said, young woman, mother of this blessed child, you are one of the favored ones of whom the angels told us about, the one that God's favor and glory is upon this night. The old man continued. He said, the angels told us that your son is God's promised Messiah, our deliverer. And then he remained silent. He knelt there for a few moments. He got up. He took the mother by the hand and pressed it tightly into his and said, praise be to Yahweh, as he looked heavenward. I took that moment to slip in a little closer and kneel down into the manger. I realized I had nothing to say. I could only stare into the face of that baby boy and be amazed. For in that moment, I realized that I had come face to face with God. I don't know how long I was there, but Elias eventually came and he grabbed me by the arm and he directed me towards the entrance of the cave. I couldn't help, as we left, to just peek one last time over my shoulder. My heart was filled with such immense joy, just like the angels had announced. It was like it was just bubbling up inside me. I was like a wineskin ready to burst, and burst I did. I began to tell everyone about all that we had seen. And as soon as I began, Judah jumped in. Everybody thought we were crazy. Some, I think, listen just to be nice. Others, just to get a laugh. But we didn't care. We wanted everyone to know that Messiah had come. And I want everyone to know that Messiah has come even still today. Now, we didn't know it then, but we would discover later that Messiah didn't come to overthrow the Romans who were oppressing the Israelites. Instead, he had come to deliver all mankind from the sin and death that oppresses us all. He came to be our Passover lamb. He was our substitute, dying on a Roman cross, bearing the wrath of God that you and I deserved because of our sin. And 3 days later, he raised from the grave as conqueror of sin and death. And so this morning, my friends, my story ends with a plea. Won't you give your life to Jesus Christ so that the wrath of God will pass over you, so that you can know salvation and the immense joy that the angels announced to shepherds so long ago on the hills of Bethlehem? Will you pray with me this morning? O God, our Father, the one who created all heaven and all earth and all that there is. Yahweh, there is none above you or beside you. There are none who could come up with such an awesome plan of salvation for man. God, thank you that even though in our rebellion and in our sin, as we have shaken our fist at you, you still loved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you were willing to come to this earth and take on human flesh those many, many Christmases ago. Thank you that you became our substitute, that my sin deserved death and God's wrath, that all sin deserved sin and God's wrath, and yet you continued to make your way down, lowering yourself to a little manger, living a perfect life, humbling yourself to the point of death on a cross so that I did not have to die, so that I could know life eternal, so that we could all know the peace that comes from a relationship with God. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that your Spirit would move in our midst, that men and women who think they are unworthy would come, that those who think they are good enough would come to understand that they are not, that those who are unfaithful, those who are sinners, would ask Christ to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart, and that they might be saved. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.